This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Don Gagne.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is familiar to most Americans as a place where the oil industry wants to drill. 50 years ago this month, two wilderness activists by the name of Olas and Marty Murry explored Alaska's upper Shenjek River. That set in motion efforts to protect what is now the refuge. George Schaller, then a young field biologist, went along. In this National Geographic radio expedition, Elizabeth Arnold travels with George Schaller, now a world-renowned naturalist, back to the refuge.
Dear friends, we are riding from the Shenjek country, from the Arctic wilderness of the Brooks Range, 150 miles north of Fort Yukon and the Arctic Circle. To reach such far places, it is necessary nowadays to take to the air.
Fifty years after Olas and Marty Murry recorded their famous letter from the Shenjek River, it's still necessary to take to the air to reach it. There are no roads here. It's just as it was when they first described it, a wide-open valley defined by a sinuous river and towering limestone peaks, a place where even superlatives seem small. As a storm approaches, we set up our lightweight tents and pick our way across the spongy tundra toward Last Lake, where the 1956 expedition made their base camp of heavy canvas and hewn logs. George Schaller, now 73, steps nimbly over the tussocks, followed by three graduate students, just as he trailed along behind Olas Murry in the same place 50 years ago. Spotting a ptarmigan, he gestures us to stop.
Wonder where the nest must be, somewhere right here. Watch where you're stepping.
Schaller is a quiet but large presence, famous for his work in far-flung places with gorillas, lions, and leopards. He's humble and methodical, pausing with the students to examine each and every wildflower.
You've got to find it almost on your hands and knees. It's
oh,
a beautiful
I
little
what
flower.
That is. Yeah.
Armed with photographs from the 1956 expedition, today's goal is to find the exact location of the original campsite.
I would guess it has to be more to the right.
A little more to the right?
Because
of that gully again.
Yep.
Oh, okay, good point.
Using the photographs from the Murry's expedition and another set taken by a geologist 50 years earlier, graduate student Forrest McCarthy is setting up a comparison study to look for signs of climate change.
All right, I just need to record the GPS location and the compass direction.
As the graduate students work, Schaller studies the view and makes notes in his ever-present field book, clearly happy to be back.
Olas and Marty be tremendously pleased to see these guys lining up to find out where the campsite was. Have the trees grown? Are there new trees in the picture? Which there are. So things are going at their own slow pace here in the Arctic. And that is in many ways how Olas and Marty worked. One step at a time, learning, advocating.
The Murry's expedition was the start of a campaign for protection, and with the help of U.S. Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas and a growing wilderness movement, President Eisenhower was eventually persuaded to set aside 8 million acres here as a range. The range was later expanded to 19 million acres and renamed in 1980 the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, the culmination of Olas Murry's life's work.
He was a superb naturalist who taught me. When I went out with him, he'd pick up a bear dropping and look what he's eaten. He'd stop, and he knew the flowers, and he made a sketch of it. And just to see somebody in his late 60s be that full of curiosity, enthusiasm, to continue what he's done his whole life, but truly to see what's around him, that made a great impression on me, which I've been trying to emulate ever since.
Here in the Brooks Range, with nothing but time and wilderness in every direction, Schaller is curious and tireless himself, setting the same example that Olus Murray once set for him. The similarity hasn't been lost on graduate student Martin Robards.
It's just a different way of going than a lot of what we do now. I mean, we go out in the field and we'll collect the information that sort of fits our mission and maybe a little bit of other data, but there isn't that general sort of natural history of just writing down everything that you see. And he keeps telling us, you know, when you go off on this hike, write down every large mammal you see because somebody will find it useful in the future. And that's just inspirational to watch that.
But Schaller sets an example in another way. Just as he's a persistent observer, he's a steadfast advocate as well. This is his first trip back in 50 years, and he refuses to be complacent.
I'm happy to be here and to see that the place is intact. That's the first thing. But now there's this feeling of apprehension, of guilt even, that this place still isn't safe. So what will it be like in 50 years? One of the things that Olus Murray left with me is that you must do something beyond yourself. And conservation is one of the most basic things you can do. I've had a tiny part in this, but for Olus and Marty's sake and all the other people who fought in this, I really wish that this will forever remain a memorial to their vision. To Olus and Marty in the Arctic Refuge forever.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
At night over dinner, the talk is always of conservation and the Murrays, of how to describe and protect the refuge. John Waterman, author of a book about the Murrays and organizer of this trip, scratches his head over the idea that it's enough to simply defend what Olas called the precious intangible values of wilderness.
I struggle with the precious intangible values because I want to quantify those. I want to describe what they are. And maybe that's one of the great lessons of the trip, is that what Olus described then is true today.
The group has marveled at how little has changed here since the Murrays first documented its natural history, from the waves of migrating caribou to the late summer's crowberries. But Schaller's insistent, reminding them that little has also changed in terms of the pressures to open the refuge to development. Brooke Williams, executive director of the Murray Center, says Schaller's carrying on the tradition.
Most people his age are like, would just be sitting there telling stories about the past. And he's still talking about what has to be done.
On the last night by the river, the group is silent after listening to a 1956 recording of Marty Murray, her voice resonating through the years in the stillness of the long Arctic summer light. Her question still unanswered.
This, then, is the Shinjek country, the Arctic wilderness of the Brooks Range. Will we have the wisdom to cherish such places, to leave such parts of the earth in their natural state, humbly and with appreciation? Sincerely, Marty Murray.
For Radio Expeditions, I'm Elizabeth Arnold.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. To hear podcasts, go to npr.org/radioexpeditions.